A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
This is Korea 360, your all-round look at the labor and manpower landscape here in Singapore, your career and also lifelong learning. Now, how did Singapore's manpower sector do and what were the hiring trends of 2018? Also, what are the hot jobs for 2019? We're going to find out from Amelin Lam, Division Manager at recruitment firm Selectee. Amelin, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Hi, Howie. Thanks for having me back.
So you think in general the jobs market did okay in 2018 or what's up?
Okay, actually, the job market in 2018 has been generally positive across most industries. Based on the reports that have actually been surfaced, the labor market has continued to improve in the first three quarters of the year, with more hiring and actually less retrenchment. Of course, most of the majorities of the roles hired were for PMETs, and in addition to that, specifically for PMETs, it was mainly in the IT sector, the financial services sector, and also the healthcare sector. There is definitely an increase in demand of people for these sectors as Singapore is slowly moving towards a smart nation. We keep hearing this word on and off, along with an aging population as well.
So that was the significance of the hiring trends of 2018,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So those supposedly hot jobs would be in those sectors that you mentioned, IT, finance and healthcare.
Mainly more towards the IT and the healthcare, actually.
But of course.
Yeah, but finance is an ongoing thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think, though, in 2019 it will be much the same?
In 2019, we do see that IT-based sectors and positions will continue to be hot. Again, it's because we move forward, you know, into more of a smart nation and having a strong technology infrastructure. A bit at a slower pace, you know, because recently we had the hack from
SingHealth.
Yes, correct. So because of that, you know, we try to the government tried to actually, you know, slow down the whole pace. But even then, you know, most companies are actually moving towards, you know, having more IT-based kind of like technology, even for positions that were previously or traditionally non-IT-based in nature. For example, even if you're talking about marketing, in the past, it was mainly more traditional marketing roles. You know, we do see a trend that our clients, the potential employers out there, they are looking for job seekers with, like, you know, maybe more, I would say, traditional marketing. Yet at the same time, with also the digital aspect as well. You know, the SEO, the SEMs, you know, because Google Analytics, all this plays a part in it as well.
Right. Would you say when a job seeker is out there, they would obviously have a better time in these particular sectors? Is that what it looked like in 2018?
Yes, yeah. And it will continue in 2019 as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So what about, say, job seekers who are looking for jobs in the other sectors that perhaps weren't so hot?
Actually, when it comes to common mistakes, it doesn't really matter whether, you know, the market is hot or not, because even for markets that are hot, job seekers that are proficient or, you know, skilled in that area, for example, even like IT personnel, they might also make the same mistakes.
Oh, okay.
I would actually say in terms of like common mistakes made across, would be not doing enough research on the company that they are going for an interview, having very minimal clue as to what the company is actually dealing with. You know, this really reflects disinterest in the position in the company as well, and also not being flexible on opportunities. For example, you know, we have job seekers out there who tell us that, okay, I need to look for the job that is within 45 minutes journey time, one straight train, stuff like that. But it actually limits the opportunities that you have, because the ideal job in terms of like skill set, in terms of company wise, might be, you know, beyond what you set the parameters around as well. And also, you know, another mistake would be, you know, job seekers asking for salary all the time during the interview. Like the question that they ask hiring managers would be like, can I know what's the remuneration package like and all this? Again, it reflects, you know, to a certain extent, like all I'm concerned about is actually the dollars and cents. Yeah, so these are the common mistakes that people make.
Say if we use that as an example, when can we ask about
remuneration? Oh, we can definitely ask about
just not every question be about
not not every question and not the first question that you ask. Like, hiring managers generally, you know, to sum up an interview, they might ask if you have any questions. A lot of times that what they are looking for is that, do you have any questions in relation to my company, in relation to my job, in relation to the job that you applied for? Like, do you have any questions in terms of the roles, etc.?
Yeah.
Not so much about, what is my salary that you're going to offer me? Yeah, so that is the question, the mistake that a lot of job seekers out there make.
Is it possible to not have any questions? Does that reflect badly on a job seeker?
It really depends on how the interview goes as well. If the interview has been a pretty long one where a lot of things has been discussed and, you know, you have pretty much covered most points in terms of the roles. I mean, along the way, I would be sure that as a job seeker myself, in the past, I would have asked the, you know, the hiring manager, like, you know, more details about the job. If that has already been done through the interview, there's no reason for you to, or there's a possibility that you don't have to ask more questions.
Mm.
But if the interview has been a very short one, like, for example, you know, like, it's more of a one-sided interview, like the hiring manager's just asking you about what you have done previously. And then, you know, at the end of it, he gives you an opportunity to ask more questions. If you're really interested in the job,
you would have some.
Yes. You can prepare in terms of like understanding the job responsibilities, understanding what the job involves and entails prior to the interview, as well as the company that you're applying for. Say, for example, if I'm applying to XYZ company, there will be certain questions that I would like to ask XYZ in terms of like the company itself, like the nature, you know, the what we are looking at 5 years down the road and all that. If I'm looking at staying in a company long term,
right.
These are questions that you need to know and be prepared for.
Okay, so yeah. 2018, what do you think it looked like for the recruitment space, which is where you're in? You reckon it's a hot job?
It is a hot job.
Yeah.
If you were to take a look at, we are all certified by MOM. So if you take a look at the number of people that has been certified in the past few years, I would consider it a hot job.
Right, so yeah, lots of people gunning for your job, huh, Emmeline?
A lot of people are going into this industry,
right.
I would say. Yeah.
Okay. So would this be something that somebody could look into as well, the recruitment space, to become a recruiter?
That really depends on the individual skill sets, I would say.
Okay.
One man's meat is another man's poison. Likewise, right. Whatever that is good for me as a job might not be good for the other individual
right.
as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in the recruitment space, though, did you see new things come up in 2018 in terms of job seekers maybe making mistakes or maybe really standing out?
I would say that
it's about the same.
It's about the same because, you know, I have been in this industry for pretty long. So, you know, the changes are always gradual. Like the mistakes or even the improvements, it's not always the bad things. There are also good things as
yeah.
well. It's always gradual. The changes always happens gradually.
Right.
Yeah. Change is the only constant.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk to us about some of the changes that have come, say, in the last 5 years or so. I imagine the digital resume obviously came to the fore from, say, 20 years ago when I was stuffing envelopes and sending them out when I was applying for my first job. Different platforms have come into play, haven't they?
Yeah. I would say that, you know, there are a lot more platforms. You know, whereby job seekers can look out for jobs. There's a lot of actually even web developers that are going to this arena as well. It's not fully developed yet, but we do see that there are more companies that are coming in to try to get a pie. I mean, recruitment is supposedly to a lot of people a lucrative market. I mean, that saying, right? Because so we have a lot of like those people who are trying to, you know, do the back-end work of it, the digitalization of it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I would say more towards, there's more relation to as a recruiter.
Yeah.
It would be generally more contract roles that are coming up. Yeah, in the past, it was really more permanent positions. But I think 5 years down, 5 years ago, the trend has actually gradually moved towards more contract positions. It's always, you know, it could be for short-term, like for 6 months contract roles, but it could also be long-term, like 1 year renewable contracts and all that.
Mm.
In fact, we do know of certain big MNCs out there that at least 50% of their staff on renewable contract basis.
Would you say it's more of companies offering this or more of job seekers wanting this?
Companies offering this. And job seekers has grown to be more receptive towards this.
Right.
I mean, when companies first introduced this idea, it was really tough for recruiters to convince.
Sell the idea job seekers.
Yes, to convince this to job seekers. But we do see that, you know, especially in the last 2 years or so, job seekers seems to be more receptive towards the idea of actually contract positions.
With that in mind, how can somebody better prepare themselves as they re-enter the job market? Say, for example, it is a mom who's taken time off to have a baby or somebody who's just maybe had some difficulty finding a job.
There's two keywords, upskill and reskill. This has been the two keywords have been actually said again and again. Yeah, so it's really about, you know, keeping yourself constant with the, you know, relevant to the market situation out there, reading a lot of news. I mean, you will be surprised at the number of people that's not aware of what's happening, actually. So it's always good to read. It's free anyway, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and on top of that, you know, we have SkillsFuture. So to take up those courses, to stay relevant, especially in terms of your profession. So if, for example, you know, I'm a recruiter myself and I were to take a break, during this duration, I could actually take up courses that are held by MOM, for example, to know what are the changes in, you know, the recruitment side in MOM rules and regulations. So when I enter back to the workforce, I do know what to look out for, what are the pitfalls. And during the interviews, a lot of questions that the employers like to ask job seekers for HR positions per se will be like, what do you understand about MOM rules and regulations? Mm. So if I'm not relevant in this area, then I will definitely not stand out from the other job seekers out there. Be very focused and to prioritize. And I mean, if, for example, I mean, the best example to use would be myself, right? If I am really taking a break and I have to actually go back to the workforce thereafter, I will definitely only go for courses that are related to what I am doing. Mm. If I have spare time, I might take up other courses that will benefit me in the soft skills area.
Yeah.
But in terms of technical skills, right, that would be the key thing as well.
So, knowledge-based.
Yeah,
too.
Correct. Yeah. Knowledge-based courses. Yeah.
So the last time we spoke, a couple of months ago, you talked about how job seekers needed to be prepared. And we just talked about that a bit too. Mm. And also maybe expectations. Mm. What other advice would you like to give job seekers for 2019?
Okay, then,
same again.
No, I have more new things.
Okay, great.
They can be more resilient. Okay, and have a positive mindset. It comes with the newer generations, you know, the tendency to give up if they were to not, you know, get a job within the first few attempts in job seeking. They might feel like a bit discouraged and all that. But I would say it's to be resilient and to have a positive mindset. You might not know that the next position that you applied for might be the role that's just for you. And on top of that, to continue networking. You know, be open to and touch base with as many recruiters as you can, with your friends. Let them know you're on the lookout for a job. No, you will know who is the one that will be knocking, who will be, you know, opening the next door for you. So that's what I can actually, you know, advise the job seekers out there.
And of course, temper expectations.
Yes,
and
yes.
Read up on the company you're applying to, etc.
Yeah.
What about for you personally? What you hope to see in, say, the recruitment space in what you're doing?
To have job seekers that are a bit more open, a bit more receptive. I mean, my rice bowl depends on the job seekers, maybe,
yes.
Right? I mean, of course, employers does play a big part, but I mean, job seekers need to play a part. Recruiters are very much like a tool between the employers as well as the job seekers out there. We can actually knock on the door. We can open the door for you. But after which, whether you choose to take the next step, that's really up to you. So we do hope that, you know, job seekers out there will be more receptive, will be, you know, more, I would say, more open to ideas, more open to positions. I mean, give yourself an opportunity to go for the interview, after which then you can make your own decision on to whether you really want a job or should you really want to take up this opportunity. Yeah, don't close the door before it actually even really opens.
Right.
Yeah.
So find out more about what they do at selecti.com.sg. That's CELECTI.com.sg. Amelin Lam is division manager there. Amelin, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Howie, for having me again.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.